to Canada's Getting Colder, a joint perspective on Canadian hip-hop culture. Rock is not hot, this is Canada getting colder. The way is over, I think music needs. Rap is something you do, hip-hop is something you do. Lyrics matter, beats and flow matter. Haunted DJs, B-boys do matter. No, 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 no doubt. I guess right now we should start the show. Joe, 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 Joe. This is Richer Than Music, documenting the stories of Canada's rich urban music culture.
CHRY 105.5, locked into it. Welcome to a special broadcast of Richer Than Music. Over the next 2.5 hours, we will be highlighting Canadian hip-hop and its influence on our heritage and overall Canadian experience. This broadcast will include voices from some of Canada's leading urban lifestyle stakeholders, representing communities from coast to coast. Covering the topics of music, arts and culture, heritage, and industry, today's feature, Canada's Getting Colder, will provide an in-depth view into the achievements, challenges, and potential of hip-hop culture across our country. We would like to start off by welcoming our listeners on the dial at 105.5 FM and invite others to tune in across Southern Ontario on Rogers Digital Cable Channel 945. Tonight, you will be joining a worldwide audience already tuned into our live video stream on various urban lifestyle sites across Canada, including LegionMNM.com and www.toflow.com. And now, without further ado,
let's take a look at music.
Was a cool and lonely up the shaft style that coerced her to smile, shock another to the fire. Quest for breath, my intent to impress the mistress. So stress broke the ice like Gretzky. I told she, give me a signature and number. Lumber could follow if I check you tomorrow. Cool. Eight simply went to my gate, down my bell apparatus and switched the player status with the fattest appeal. My spill became locked. Eat a chicken at 3 in the skin at 4 o'clock. Cool. Again, I reached the girl's door. Just call me FP, cause her birthday to the soul. Hit the flower in the heart, swift motion. Lotion and skin like kerosene. Into the cup, what? I'm in the cup, what? Hitting that spot, that's G. You know I did you had she, that the hit was a nap in the figures episode. Took 5 minutes for the cannon to explode. She said, do you love me? And I said, no. And she slapped my face and grabbed her and said, no. Do that again and it's over your toes. The sticker was nice, but yo, not get bold. Cause open shouts out for mine and then some. I hit some and leave some, you're along with the show. Word up.
One for the money and the rest for my friends. Three's for the crossbars. The four for the drinks and stuff. And the bang of cups. And again for the dough.
Yo,
on with the show.
You're listening to Canada's Getting Colder, a joint perspective on Canadian hip-hop culture.
CHRY 105.5. Indeed, there is no doubt of Canada's rich history in hip-hop music. From the mid-80s to our present-day renaissance period, Canadian hip-hop has done much to establish itself as a global player in the industry through a consistent delivery of world-class songs, artists, and producers. Carrying forward a long-standing Canadian tradition of producing music that contends globally well beyond its weight class, considering our sparse resources, Canadian hip-hop has grown in quality and appeal. But where does it stand inside of our own borders? We've invited some of Canada's leading DJs and music connoisseurs to join in a short discussion on Canadian hip-hop. Our guests from left to right include Channel 9, host DJ of one of Canada's longest-standing community radio hip-hop shows on CKLN 88.1 FM, The Static Show. We have Musically Insane, host of Canada's first commercial underground hip-hop show and founder of Toronto's best hip-hop radio show, The Real Frequency. We also have world-renowned DJ and 2009 Canadian Club DJ of the Year, DJ Respect, in the building as well. And my man, Grand Wiz, representing music connoisseurs across the city. Individually, you all have resumes that could have us talking for hours, but heading straight into the questions, one of the things that we proposed to the people was, in your opinion, what song, group, or artist in our history solidified Canada as a global player in hip-hop culture? So what I'll do is I'll just say, we'll just go from left to right and just name your track or artist.
I gotta put it down for my man Maestro, Let Your Backbone Slide.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say Socrates, Father Time.
Big one. Grand Wiz.
I could say so many here, but I think we'll probably go with the current times and just say a Drake, because like best I ever had, pretty much. I don't think anybody on the planet who's current with commercial music like didn't know that he's from Canada and that he's dope. So that basically put us on the map.
Definitely feeling that one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with the latter. Although I do feel that Maestro, you know, for his era, definitely put Canada on the map. Then there's dudes like Sox and Cardi, and then currently Drake. So I think it's been, you know, an evolution of the Canadian artist as opposed to just necessarily one main artist. It's really hard to say.
Now, we talked to other DJs across the country as well. DJ Arms gave it up to Maestro, as well as DJ Quiet Slane from Montreal. He gave it up to Maestro as well. We're going to hear from DJ Arms a little later on inside of our conversation. But moving beyond those listed artists, what we can basically establish from that is we know that Maestro, putting out that record in 87, 88, there is a long history of hip-hop in this country. And it's been resonating throughout, and like Respect and Grand Wiz have alluded to, it's evolved over that time. In your opinions, what hip-hop song achieved the greatest penetration across Canada for the average music connoisseur?
I'm just going to say again, it's hard to pinpoint one song. I think, you know, every decade and every era, there was a different group of consumers listening, and a group of listeners in pop culture and hip-hop culture listening to the music. So Maestro, for his time, I say for the 80s, for that decade, I say he takes the cake. As far as the 90s goes, you know, there's a lot of people from Mishy Me to Sox to Cardi to, you know, there's so many artists. Yeah, it's Rascals, it's tricky, and then obviously in the last 2, 3 years, 4 years, Drake, you know, he's been running with the torch, so to speak, so it's hard to say, man.
There you go, but not to put you guys on the spot, but what I'm hearing from that, and I guess that's right across the board with the panelists, speaking like true DJs. But definitely what we do want to look at is the fact that, okay, there is a lot of music. There's a lot of quality music that has come out of Canada in terms of hip-hop, and that's a great thing. But for some reason, as much as we can speak to all of this quality,
yeah,
our music, Canadian hip-hop music, isn't being played as heavily on radio, in the clubs, and things of that nature. So although we can sit here and celebrate the fact that there's a lot of strong hip-hop that's been coming out over the years, what song can we truly say has transcended?
Open the Doors, really?
That's right.
I think it's unfortunate to say this, but I think it's been that U.S. cosign. Look at Cardi. He was always dope, but he never really blew internationally on that, on like a pop culture level, till Akon signed him and he's touring and shutting down stadiums with Dangerous. And then same thing for Drake. He's been dope for the last 4 years, but oh, until Lil Wayne co-signed him, you know, now he's all over the radio. And it sucks, but
I could chime in for a minute, I'd say when Cardinal was featured on that Grinding remix, I think it just opened, blasted the door open as far as the respect level from, you know, the U.S. and just people who are just into the mainstream. Because, I mean, you could be felt on an underground level. I could remember when Socrates showed up on Tony Touch's, I can't remember the mixtape name, but the P's and Q's track was on there. Me personally, I felt like that was a big step in Canadian hip-hop, but, you know, the average music listener probably still doesn't know that track to this day. But as far as Cardi showing up on a Clips track and actually, you know, standing out, I think that probably was one of the more clear-cut moments.
And that's definitely one of the first ones that, as a DJ, I remember playing that one in the clubs, and it got the biggest
people
forward.
People were singing a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, I still think even in the 80s, when the whole hip-hop movement was going, the Canadian hip-hop, even in the underground, we could say, as I'm saying, I'm still putting Maestro up there, but he did the track, he was doing the bridge with Showbiz and AG as well. So at that point, Fine-Tuned the Mic, and it was a dangerous album. And even at the time, Mishy Me was out there with MC Light and the whole female movement. So that was another bridge as well, too, for getting the hip-hop. But at that point, it was still in that underground stage, and I think when Cardi did the Grinding, or we can still talk about the Soccer and Tony Touch, that was starting to elevate the whole, like, everyone was looking at Canadian, yeah, these guys are for real.
Okay. Musically insane, did you want to chime in on that? Or?
Nah, man. Pretty much Channel 9 summed it up right there. Because I was going to say, like,
he's writing notes to me and I'm just reading it.
Yeah, Fine-Tune the Mic definitely for Maestro, I think, opened up a lot of doors. I mean, plus with saying Wishing Me, if I remember correctly, like, KRS-One of those guys came up here actually to work with Wishing Me and do stuff with her. She was on First Priority, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean...
That was like a bridge album too, because it was First Priority Audio 2. Mishimi was on the cut of that album. So,
for those tuning in right now, you're listening to a segment called Canada's Getting Colder. We're reviewing perspectives of Canadian hip hop culture across Canada, and we're speaking to a few of some of the highlighted DJs and music connoisseurs across the country when it revolves around Canadian hip hop. Now, we started to get into the conversation. We talked about the star power and how that's really impacted the crossover appeal of hip-hop to the masses across Canada. Does star power impact your choice in music as DJs? And if not, does it impact the choice of the average consumer? And that's open to everybody.
Definitely for me, I could see how it affects the consumer. Me personally, I'm more focused on the quality of lyrics, the quality of recording, you know, just the overall quality of songs and songwriting. But I think it's more of a like an after topic to look at. Like, I'll take into consideration like J. Cole blowing up. Like, he's not really a star yet, but his star power, you know, being co-signed from other lyricists in the game, kind of makes me look at him more.
Yeah,
from a Canadian perspective. I think, you know, the star power is kind of lacking here, so, you know, it definitely makes you look at music differently when there's no star power behind it. Like,
I so agree with him, especially like quality, for sure, for me is like a big thing, because I think a lot of people, they do not realize how hip-hop, how big it is. There's a lot of artists, a lot of underground, what they'll call underground artists, but there is just hip-hop in general, a lot of music nobody knows about. These are so, as radio DJs, or us on the radio, it's our job to really get this music out there and take it from there.
I was just to add to the fact, definitely for myself, it's about the music first. Like, you know, I've been supporting guys like Tona and Drake on mixtapes since 06, and you know, now, like I said, because Wayne co-signs, dude, the masses love him, you know what I mean? Or it takes that to get to the general public on a level like Billboard and a pop culture level, which is unfortunate. I'm not mad at that because it's still exposing talent, you know what I mean? Good talent. But for me, it's about the music first. And I think, this, like Wiz said, the star power definitely might help, you know, draw attention to a certain artist, but it should be about the music first. I think that's the case with all the DJs here. That's why we do this at the end of the day.
Okay. I think it's great for hip-hop. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but it's great for hip-hop. Even you have your little pop hip-hop, your hip-hop here. It's great for the movement of hip-hop because we are reaching like a whole audience that would never even know, okay, this is hip-hop. And then it gives them an idea of, okay, let's dig further into this hip-hop movement, see what other artists are out there. So I think it's great. Some people will say, nah, it's too poppy, but it's great that it's still out there.
It's opening doors, yeah.
Talking to a host of DJs right now in the studios of CHRI 105.5 in the middle of a documentary radio broadcast called Canada's Getting Colder, a joint perspective on Canadian hip-hop culture. Now, I talked before about the fact that we talked to other DJs across the country, so I'm going to let DJ Arms in on this conversation for a little bit and I'll let you hear some of his feedback out of Vancouver. And he's going to continue the discussion we had about star power. And more importantly, although we say that star power doesn't influence our choices, one of the questions that I posed to DJ Arms was the fact that as DJs, we receive so much music, literally hundreds of new tracks every month. And more times than not, the DJs will pick an artist who is of similar caliber in terms of production, content, quality of lyrical delivery. But if he's American, he gets to forward in the club before a similar artist in Canada. So we'll hear what Arms has to say about that, and then we'll have you guys chime in on that.
Yo, this is DJ Arms, representing Faction Sam Crew out of Van City. That's a good point, and I chalk that up to, I may do that, but a lot of the time that comes down to people filling the song, right? And what's getting pushed out there. And unfortunately, we do have our, you know, CRTC laws that say we play the 33% or whatever it is, but that doesn't necessarily mean the stuff is getting played. You know, they may not be that great or whatnot, but, you know, the quality is there. But do start to get their huge amounts of push from the States and, you know, become bigger up here. Whereas, you know, a track I may be feeling may not get any spins at all commercially. And I'll still put it in my set, but whether or not I drop it during a primetime set, it's a little more difficult. Beats banging, you can always do that, but and it just, it goes, you know, by notability and if people know it, you know.
DJ Arms from Vancouver representing Faction Sound Crew, and in studio we have Channel 9, Musically Insane, Grand Wiz, and DJ Respect. Continue on that topic. We do agree that there is a lot of quality Canadian hip-hop, but does it make it into the playlist of the average program director and or DJ in the clubs? And why is that? I'll open that up to you guys again.
For me, I think there's a little bit of politics that go on. It's not like I'm calling anybody out or anything, but I think just certain people that are just in positions of power tend to, you know, kind of just deal with the people that they're dealing with face-to-face. And a lot of artists don't have the, you know, travel money to kind of be all around and up in clubs, up in offices and radio stations, people's faces. So they kind of get brushed under the rug if they're not willing to just go that whole route. So I think that plays a part in it. Just the politics and the dynamics of the scene here. Toronto's, speaking specifically towards Toronto, it's like, you know, we're halfway in between New York and other major cities in our own country, and we're kind of on our own. So we don't really, it's not that easy for, you know, let's say a New York MC to drive out to Philly, do a show, or kind of break himself. So it's like, if you're not really meeting people and always in people's ear, then, you know, what would be the onus upon them to really stick up for you? I know Respect, probably it's just his natural love of MCs and Canadian hip-hop why he puts it on his own back to do it. But, I mean, there's no real incentive there, so it's not something people are getting really paid for or nothing like that.
All right.
So it's kind of their own decision to just be more political about who they promote.
So let me talk to the DJ about this, because again, as a DJ, one of the things that I've made a change of myself over recent years is once the quality got to the point where it was comparable to what's coming out of the States, what's coming out of the UK and things of that nature, I made a decided choice to start playing more Canadian music. And obviously, again, in the clubs, there is a barrier. Like Arms was talking about from Vancouver, he was talking about the fact that people just don't know the artists as much and things of that nature. But if the quality's there and we don't have an infrastructure in Canada that will support that, who does that now fall on? So I'll just let you guys talk about that. Talk about the concept of playing an artist, Canadian versus American, if quality's not an issue.
I think the onus is on us to break it and push that music. Like, I remember, I think it was right, like the day that Drake dropped Ransom, I was out in Montreal with Sir Lancelot and we were doing a party. And we were playing, you know, club bangers, American music mostly, because that's what the hits were. And we played that record and we pulled it up and everyone stopped dancing and looked at us like we were retarded. They didn't know what was going on. And this was right on the verge, the cusp of Drake blowing up globally, right?
Right.
But we just felt the song and we supported him as an artist. So we broke the record to 800 people in Montreal that night. And, you know, the song caught on a few days later. And those people are going to remember you in the club breaking that record to them first. So I think the responsibility falls on us to push the quality music that we stand behind as DJs. If we're not doing it, you know, the program directors aren't going to do it. No one's going to do it for you. So it starts with us. I think we have to take a stance in the club and take a risk, and people might stop dancing, but if that's what it's going to take to let people know that, hey, I'm telling you, this is a hot record, you guys need to pay attention, and I'm going to stop the music and pull it up and play it from the top, then people will slowly start to understand, you know what I mean? I think we have a lot of responsibility as DJs. In the States, you see that going on all the time. If you go to New York, these guys are behind their records and artists so heavy that they're pulling them up and breaking them. Obviously, it's our duty to please the crowd and keep them dancing, but I think there's a fine line between always pleasing a crowd and breaking and supporting talent that we're behind.
Musically Insane.
Yeah, I'm just, from a radio perspective, I'm not really much of a club DJ, but from a radio perspective, we've played songs, as long as the quality level is the same, right? People can't tell the difference, because we don't play a song and say, hey, yo, this is your Canadian dude, you know what I'm saying? Because people all of a sudden get this mental thing and they turn off. we don't want to hear who that guy is because you said he's Canadian. But if you just play the song in the mix, we've had people call up saying, yo, who is that? And when they find out that person's from their own hometown, they're completely shocked.
Right.
So quality level, I think we're there. It's just getting that mental block out of people's heads that just because it's Canadian doesn't mean it's inferior to what's out there right now. Sure.
Definitely. Today's show, we are going to cover a lot of different topics regarding Canadian hip-hop, and this one featuring the music. We left it to some very capable hands on DJ Channel 9, Musically Insane, Grand Wiz. Respect. We want to thank you for coming through and talking about that. We're going to continue the conversation. There's no question that when you take a quick scan of the dial and take in radio, pop television, or even the club scene, urban music and urban influence is paramount in the experience of those mediums. If quality is no longer the overlying factor to barring Canadian urban music from our playlists, then what could that remaining factor be? And if we can answer that question, Canada, what steps will we take to further embrace urban and, in this case, hip-hop culture in Canada? Or is it already happening? After the commercial break, we will look beyond the music to see how hip-hop culture is being incorporated into the arts and speak to a few guests who deliver some very interesting and creative events themselves, speaking about Canadian hip-hop. This is CHOY 105.5, and you're listening to Richer Than Music, Canada's Getting Colder, a perspective on Canadian hip-hop culture.
Was a cool and lonely. Up the shaft style, that could worse at a smile, shock another to the back.